Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Squiggly Careers Podcast. I'm Sarah and I'm joined by my co-host Helen.
Hi everybody.
And this podcast is here to help you navigate all the ins and outs, the ups and downs that we all experience day in, day out, every week with our squiggly careers. I was actually thinking day in, day out because I felt like I'd had a really kind of successful, productive day. And then my two-year-old toddler had his first like real meltdown.
Oh, wow.
Right before recording this podcast. So I was feeling smugly squiggly, you know, like, oh, I'm really making this work. Today has been really successful. I've worked in different places. I've got things done. I focused on some things. And then it all kind of went to pot in the last hour of the day. So I was like, that just teaches you, doesn't it? Never to get complacent.
I'll tell you what, my squiggly career low light today. My low light today was that one of the things that's changed in squiggly careers is that we've got a lot more flexibility about where we work and how we work because technology has enabled that. So today I was working from co-working type of space and it was in the country, which is all very lovely. However, the one bad thing about this place is that the phone signal's pretty awful. I normally try and use like Zoom or Skype or something for my calls to get around that because signal's awful, but Wi-Fi is great. But this particular, one of the organisations we're working with, it was a phone call. The only spot I could find with even like a bar of signal on my phone was next to a bin that had quite a lot of wasps around it. And I've got a phobia of wasps.
You have a real phobia of wasps, yeah. Don't you?
Do you know what? I started this call. I'm sure some people from this organisation might end up listening to this podcast, but I started this call today and I definitely talked for the first 5 minutes far too fast and just dominated the conversation, I think because of nerves, because of the wasps. I was like, I'm just gonna say this really quickly. And they probably thought, gosh, she talks, well, I mean, I do talk fast, sorry everybody, but I'm sure they probably thought, wow, when is she going to pause and let us speak? But it was entirely because the wasps were causing some kind of adrenaline. Yes, that was my squiggly career low light of the day.
Oh, and thank you to everybody for continuing to share your feedback. I'm really enjoying meeting people who then tell me they listen and drop it into conversation and I don't know that they're listeners. Somebody told me last week that their treat for the week was to listen to us as they were doing some exercise. And I was thinking, wow, the responsibility, if we are your treat, I really feel like we need to make sure that these podcasts are really good.
Go, go, go. Is that what you say when someone's doing exercise? Is someone who does no exercise?
Well, yeah, well, I guess. And the other thing that somebody told me was that they listen in the car as they're taking their seven-year-old daughter to school. So their daughter like
gets a growth mindset kind of boost.
It was almost like passing on a message to say hello. And I was
like,
wow.
I wish we knew her name. Hello. Seven-year-old in the car.
I know. And I was thinking like we're getting her on board with like growth mindset and squiggly careers really early, like a really early advocate. And before we dive into today's topic, which we're going to be talking about social impact at work, something I think we're both really interested in and passionate about, I wanted to share something that I heard on a different podcast, which it almost made me pause the podcast because I just thought, oh, that's a really brilliant articulation of the mindset that we all need in a squiggly career. So I was listening to Mary Portas and her Work Like a Woman podcast. She's really good. I'd recommend it. She gets really interesting guests and she's really great. I think I thought she might be a bit scary, you know, because she's so confident and you always feel like, oh, it's almost like what you want to be, but you're probably not. But actually, when you listen to her, she's really into things like kindness and empathy. And I just really like the way she engages with her guests. And she was interviewing somebody called Viv Groskop. I hope I'm saying that right. And Viv is really fascinating because she used to be a writer and she's now a stand-up comedian. And she was talking about her career and the kind of real moment of clarity that I thought, particularly in the context of squiggly careers, is she says something along the lines of, everything is an experiment. If you like it, do more of it. If you don't, do something else. And I just thought, oh, that's this idea of everything is an experiment. We always talk about having an exploring mindset. Start with what you can learn, what you can discover is your mentality. I just thought it was a kind of pithy way of approaching new ideas, new challenges, particularly maybe brave choices. I think she was talking about it in the context of going, she wants her kids to grow up thinking that they can try and do the things that they want to do. And then she sort of realized that maybe she wasn't doing that. And she was like, right, come on, everything's an experiment. I should kind of really go for this. And actually Viv does her own podcast that I've not listened to yet, which is called Own the Room. But I do know, I had a quick look because I subscribed today. I had a look at some of the guests and I know a couple of the people, so I know they'll be really great. And it's all about, I think, just finding your voice, having gravitas, but kind of doing it in your own way. And she's got a really interesting variety of guests. They're not just people who are about public speaking. I think she's got Mary Beard on there, a lady called Nicola Mendelssohn, who we both know, who's got a great job over at Facebook. So a good mix of people. So two new podcasts to maybe have a look at and one bit of insight.
Best make that commute a little bit longer so you can squeeze more in.
Yeah, I know. I do. It's a bit like now, I find, discovering a new Netflix series. You know, when you discover a podcast where you're like, oh, this is really good.
I know. I'm really into it.
I get really excited.
I'll be resuming after tonight's podcast.
I've finished last night. Brilliant, but devastating is my critic review of that. So let's talk about social impact at work. And it's not necessarily a phrase you hear bandied around a lot. Helen, perhaps let's start by talking a bit about like what we think that means and why we think it's important in the context of squiggly careers.
So, yeah, social impact and in terms of how we're going to talk about it, it's really about making a difference to society in some way through the work that we do. And we'll talk a lot more about that. It could be through, you know, the organisation that you work for, work that you're doing in that organisation, maybe it's some kind of initiative. It could even be things you're doing outside of work, but it's that different society in some way through our work. It does not have to mean saving the world. So I think a lot of people think that it's, you know, their full-time job working for a charity, and for people that do that, amazing. But there's actually a lot that we can all do to connect to social impact at work through elements of our jobs or elements of the organisations we work with, or even side projects, for example. And it's often about making a connection between what you do into something bigger and more meaningful. We're getting a little bit here into the territory of sort of the purpose and making a difference, which are definitely, if you read any of the research on kind of what drives happiness at work, a lot of the variables identify that people saying that they are making a difference through their work, or they're able to connect to a purpose, is what helps people to feel happier at work. In the context of the careers that we're in now, so, you know, amazing if we call these squiggly careers, careers where there's a lot more movement. You know, we talked about technology changing how we're working, organisations moving at pace, this squiggly nature of the careers that we're in. There are a couple of reasons why in that context, social impact at work is particularly important. So, for example, we are now all working a lot longer in our careers. Who knows when we'll retire, if actually we'll ever retire
when we get to that point.
I've sort of given up on it. I just think, oh, it's probably not going to happen.
I wonder if that word would actually not exist.
I really enjoy work, so why would I be aiming to stop something that I really enjoy?
Yeah.
And we've got a special guest that I won't reveal just yet that we're going to be talking to, who is very inspirational on the podcast, who is definitely taking that attitude to life. So that's a little teaser there.
So with that in mind, will we ever retire and do we really need to? Actually, it's important to know that the work that you do, you enjoy and love and feel like you're making a difference given how long we are going to be working. So that's one aspect of it. Another one is that actually the fact that organisations are now slightly more open about side projects, they've become a bit more fashionable, whether you call them side hustles or side projects or you're kind of multi-hyphening or whatever it is that you're doing. Actually, volunteering and side projects are definitely more accepted, and there's more information about how you can start all of those. And that gives you routes perhaps to do some social impact work outside of the main job that you might be doing. So that's all great. And the last thing in terms of why social impact is important in our careers is they can help you to stand out. So we really want to focus on how we can build our strengths, and that might help you to build strengths in different contexts, for example, but also how we can stand out in the workplace. because people now are moving around organisations a lot more. They're not kind of just sat in the same roles in the same companies. And so people sort of want to know more about you and more about what makes you different. And being able to talk to some of the work that you might be doing from a social impact perspective and what you've learned from it, what you can bring to the organisation, for example, that is one way that you can stand out. And I actually had a really good conversation with the founder of a business called Mark Horozowski, and the business he's founded is called Moving Worlds. And he connected with me over email, actually, about I do this daily career advice, and he connected with me about would it be relevant to share some stuff on social impact. And I ended up having a phone conversation with him last week, which was brilliant to hear all about Moving Worlds. And Moving Worlds is an organization that connects people who want to do social impact projects as a part of their careers or as side projects or sabbaticals with opportunities across the world. So almost like organizations who are looking for bright minds. Ooh, and individuals.
Maybe I should do a sabbatical.
I know. I was talking to Mark and I was like, this is very interesting, but selfishly, I would quite like to do a Moving Worlds project. And I was like, when are you coming to the UK? And he was reeling off all these other countries that they're kind of doing host activity in. And I think the UK's next year. And I was like, let me know when you're here. He was talking about, they've got loads of articles and we'll link to a lot of them in this week's podcast notes that we'll put on our website, but lots of articles that they've done on like Forbes and Harvard Business Review, which talks about the benefits of doing additional projects as part of your work that have a social impact agenda, both for organisations, for maybe the charities or whoever it might be that you're working with, and also for your own skills development. So they're definitely an organisation worth checking out. Who knows? Sarah and I may well do a Moving Worlds opportunity at some point in the future.
So what we thought would be useful today, we're going to share briefly a couple of our stories in terms of social impact, what that's meant to us in our careers and how we've experienced it. So we'll talk about that quite quickly. And then we will go on to kind of three top tips all around how to discover social impact at work for yourself. So three things that you can do. And even within those three things, there's some really great questions to ask yourself. So basically that's my disclaimer that it's really more than three things. But, you know, everyone says you should do things in threes. So it is broadly three things with lots of sub things to have a think about.
We've cheated.
Exactly. So in terms of social impact for my own career, I was thinking about this because actually in the second half of my career, it's been almost like littered with lots of examples of work that I've done for myself and for organisations in terms of social impact. But actually, when I thought about the first 5 or 6 years of my career, I couldn't think of a single example of where I'd done anything that was connected to making that difference within society. I think part of that was I was probably quite selfish and self-contained at that point. I was probably just quite focused on learning what it meant to work, being in the world of work. And I would observe that I don't think that's the same in the kind of generation that I think are coming into the workforce now. And I think that's encouraging and positive. I think people are sharing their opinions, are caring about the world way beyond their own world, much more readily and seriously. I now definitely really care about having a social impact that's very important to me, but it certainly wasn't. So I think I can almost split my career into two. And probably there was two really big tipping points for me. One was going to work for an organisation that took its values and social impact really seriously, which was Sainsbury's. Like loads of big organisations, Sainsbury's have values that, you know, you can find on their website. But Sainsbury's took those values really seriously and they were embedded in every aspect of how they worked, from how you were set objectives to how you prioritise things. And actually just the way of being, like the way of being in that organisation, it felt different to me. And I could feel how that was a good thing for the people working there, a good thing for our customers. And actually, I went on to do a role at Sainsbury's, which was head of corporate responsibility. So I sort of probably took the job that was the ultimate social impact job. And I could really see how big organisations can have impact at scale. And I think sometimes large organisations get really kind of hard deal in terms of people are really sceptical about them. People sort of almost dismiss the impact that they have. But having seen it firsthand, somebody like Sainsbury's who donated around £60 million, it's probably more now, to charity when I was certainly in that role, you could really see how the benefits of, you know, the scale, the number of people, the amount of money could have such a huge impact on big programmes or initiatives. So that was amazing for me because I could see firsthand big wide scale change, whether that was things like getting kids active or helping people to waste less food. So that was amazing. And then almost simultaneously at the very opposite end of the spectrum, I started doing my own not-for-profit stuff where I was running a leadership initiative where the people who came on that program donated money to support young apprenticeships from very challenging backgrounds. So people who wouldn't have had the same advantages or opportunities for themselves. And almost those things coming together simultaneously were probably two of the best career decisions of my life. Because I just suddenly felt different. I think I just felt different about work, about feeling like I had a purpose that both mattered to me, but mattered beyond me. I was really inspired by lots of the social entrepreneurs I was meeting, some of whom I'll talk about later because I've certainly drawn on their work for this podcast. And then I honestly don't think we would have Amazing if I hadn't done those two things, because I think that leadership initiative plus what I was seeing as part of my job in CR made me realise, oh, there's something here that I'm really passionate about that I could make a difference to within society around making work better, about people really enjoying what they were doing, about how to be kind of successful at work today in kind of modern society. And actually so much so that we even considered with Amazing If being a charity or a social enterprise or a community interest partnership. We've actually thought quite a few times about, is that what we are? We're a limited company and that's what we've always been and that's what we still are. But we've had those conversations a few times. So for me, I think it's gone from probably being out of my consciousness completely to something being a little bit at the periphery, probably as I joined Sainsbury's, and it's got almost like closer and closer to the centre of my world, to where now I just feel like it's kind of who I am and what I do.
Yeah, and for me, if almost to start backwards, if I start at Amazing If, when we got really clear about Amazing If was about making work better for everyone, and then that started sort of becoming a filter for what we did. So at the moment, Amazing If pays my salary, which is amazing because I get to, you know, spend my days thinking about how I make work better for everyone, and I can pay for my mortgage and my childcare and all that kind of stuff, which is great. But I've also got to the point where I say to myself, do you know what? If I can't pay my bills with Amazing If, I'll go and do a job somewhere else. Like, I'm not going to get another career. And we've talked to probably before about Elizabeth Gilbert's thing about the different stages of work, of like hobby, job, career and calling. And I now think that like Amazing If's my, that's what I want to do. I want to work better for everyone. And if it doesn't pay the bills, I'll go and get a job that will. And I'll keep doing this because it's been so rewarding to find something that's fulfilling, that I just want to do more of it. And if I reflect, if I kind of go back to front a little bit with my kind of pre-Amazing If career, my corporate career, when I was at Virgin, so I, similar to you, Sarah, I don't think in my early career I really thought about it, and I haven't done like a CSR job in any of the organisations that I have worked in. When I was at Virgin, we were building this business called Virgin Red, and we were looking at the proposition, and I was really inspired by Virgin at the centre works with the Virgin Management Group, is at the centre, works with the Virgin organisations to help them to become more purpose-driven. So a really good example would be like a business like Virgin Money, whose purpose statement was to make everybody better off. And
that's nice.
It was really nice. And it was both a financial, you know, how can we help people be better off with money? But it was also more of a societal aspect to it as well. And the team at the centre used to work with Virgin businesses to help them to get that clarity. And when we were building the business Virgin Red, the original kind of statement that we were working towards was about bringing better days to life, and it evolved to helping people to be more virgin because that was all appropriate for that business. But what I noticed was that when you start with these kind of social impact statements and intents for the things that you're doing, it just helps you to really like get more creative. It really helps you to open your thinking. Like, if I think about how do we make work better for everyone, I can think really, really big. If I think about how doing better days to life, I think really big. And I just find it used to help my team get more creative. It used to help them get more excited about the answers that they were coming up with. And I think that's when it really works in organizations, where you have something that people feel that they can contribute to and they're engaged in and it feels meaningful, and they feel like they're having a personal impact on the opportunity for social impact.
Yeah, and I think what's different, the moment of realization when you know that you're having impact that's beyond yourself, is that when you identify a concern or an issue or an area, that challenge that needs to be solved out in the world, and it's not about you first, it's about something outside of you. It might still be relevant to you. It might be something that you also need to personally solve. It's almost, I think, some of this is like, what's your starting point? Is your starting point you, or is your starting point something out in the communities that we live in the country we live in the world that we live in? And I think actually when you start to think that way, and that's where you start, you then start to connect that with then, okay, so what can you contribute to that? So there are certain concerns the world has that I think are really critical, but I don't think I've got much of a contribution other than generally supporting them. Whereas actually when I think about making work better for everyone, I can then connect the things that I'm good at, the things that I can contribute with how to make that world better. I saw that in a couple of the references, actually, in terms of almost like starting outside in rather than inside out. And often, so often with what we talk about, we're talking about inside out, we're talking about self-reflection, thinking about yourself. And I think maybe this is an example where it's the other way around.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So let's move on to our three top tips. So this is all ways to start thinking about the impact that you're having. If this is something that you think is already, you know, is already important to you, you're trying to get more of it in your life, or actually you just want to think about it a bit deeper. So if I maybe kick off and then we'll kind of chat each one through a little bit. And as always, we'll make sure all the resources are on the website. So the first top tip is about interrogating any business or opportunity, because as we talked about, some of these things could be side projects or volunteering that you're thinking about joining, participating, becoming part of, to figure out what their values are. And really importantly, whether they actually really believe in them. Because I do think this is very important. This has become generally the idea of kind of having a broader impact in the world is sort of almost a hygiene factor now, I think, for lots of organisations. They feel like they have to do it. And I once, and I won't name the company, but I, when I was in the CR job at Sainsbury's, I once got rang by a recruiter about a role where they basically said they didn't really care about CR particularly, but they knew that Sainsbury's were really good at it. So could I just go and do all the stuff I did in Sainsbury's for this company?
Great.
And I was like, probably not, to be honest. Like, I mean, because it's quite soul destroying. And they were like, oh yeah, but it's you'd earn a lot of money. And I was like, yes, but then I'd love to like cry myself to sleep every night. So, you know, I was then very interested to see who went to do that
job. I was about to say that.
Yeah, gosh. I know. But that company and person will remain nameless because that's not fair. But I do think when you see organisations talking about, you know, as Helen just described, a couple of Virgin examples. Yeah, I talked about kind of Sainsbury's. Think about the questions that you can ask to understand how seriously and deeply and integral is that social purpose to the organisation. You know, what are the examples they can share with you about kind of how they bring that to life? How does that work for customers? How does that work for the people internally? One brilliant example, actually, I was thinking about who else does this really well, that a company that we've worked with but not for, is a company called Cook. and they do, I think of it as posh frozen foods. I think they call it remarkable food for your freezer, which is, you know, probably the better articulation. And it's delicious. So first and foremost, it's just delicious food.
Cooked food
that's
is
very
delicious.
Convenient. And I'm a massive fan, so I can name all my favourite cook meals. But they are a company that have always put their values kind of at the heart of how they operate. There's something called a B Corporation. So that's almost like a sustainability mark that you can get that's more popular in the US actually than it is in the UK at the moment, which indicates something about kind of how you're choosing to do business. So, you know, are you paying people things like the London Living Wage? Are you almost a bit ahead in terms of some of your metrics around maybe being carbon neutral or whatever it might be? But I think you'd only need to talk to somebody who worked for Cook for 5 minutes to understand that drives who they are, who they recruit, who they are as a business. And it's kind of no surprise to me that I think they've been in like the Sunday Times top manufacturer to work for. I think they maybe are the top now one. And I've met everybody from their chief executive to people working, you know, actually making their food, you know, making the pies that I love to eat, etc. And you can just see it everywhere you go.
It's like social impact integrity, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good way of thinking about
they've
it.
They've got bags of it.
Yeah, and you can, you know, there's smart ways of finding these things out now. You can go on things like Glassdoor.
Mm.
I think you can try and talk to more than one person from that organisation, talk to people who've worked there before. Anything that you can do to just really get to grips with, if something really matters to you, does it matter to them as much? If that's kind of, if it's an organisation, if it's more of a volunteering group or a side project, I think those things are probably naturally a bit more evident because often those things come out of people having personal passions. But again, another cautionary tale with the charity stuff that I've done in the past, lots of volunteer stuff. So I've had lots of volunteers working with me. And I think I'd always assumed that every volunteer working with me shared in the same social purpose as me. It was all about the money that we were going to raise to kind of support these apprentices. And actually what I discovered is that some of the people volunteering were doing it for really different reasons. And it wasn't that those reasons were wrong, but it did then mean that sometimes we had challenges within our group because some people were doing it because they wanted to put it on their CV. Or some people were doing it because they wanted the networking opportunities. And again, it's not wrong, but if you're not being explicit, which we weren't, that was definitely my kind of accountability, about going, oh, this is a group of people who really believe in the social impact here. That's our kind of primary motivator. And then actually, you could tell that sometimes those people would find it difficult because they'd be there for different reasons.
Mm.
So again, I think don't assume just because it's something that does good anyway, because it's a charity or a volunteer group, that everybody's there for exactly the same reason.
And our second tip is about making sure you find a good fit for yourself and the opportunity. You know, as Sarah said, whether it's a volunteer side project or something that you're doing in an organisation, that it's good use of your strengths, it's something you're really passionate about. And we've got four questions that we think can really help you if you're looking at different opportunities or even if you're trying to find a good one that might fit you. The first one, I mean, these are big questions, but the first one is, what type of work will give you a deep feeling of purpose? And I think that is a really interesting question for you to reflect on about what's really meaningful to you and what really matters to you. That's question number one. Question number two is to ask yourself, what type of work makes me feel useful and will also build on your strengths? Feeling useful will be good for your motivation. Building on your strengths will help you to learn, grow and develop, and it'll also increase the impact that you can offer to those other people. There's this lovely sweet spot where when the work that you might be doing, maybe outside of your day job perhaps, helps you to demonstrate your strengths, your existing strengths, but also to develop them, because then you can then bring those enhanced strengths back into the job that you're doing, and it becomes really, really self-fulfilling. This has been what's happened in my career. I've been able to do like a job in a corporate, which has been in marketing, work that I've done outside of the corporate, whether it was, you know, last year I co-launched a network called The New Work, which is all about accelerating flexible working, and that then helped me in my job at Microsoft. It helped me in my job at Amazing If. So it becomes so mutually beneficial when you get those things right. The third question is to think about what type of setting or culture, that might be of a team or organisation, will let you choose the way that you work best. And that might be thinking about the times of day you work, or the way you maybe want to work remotely, or maybe you work much better in high energy collaborative teams, or maybe you work with much better with research questioning people. But having that insight about the environments in which you work best can mean that you'll be sort of happier when you're choosing the social impact work projects, initiatives that kind of match that. And the last one is a very specific, amazing if question that we think can really help to open your thinking and get a bit more explory or experimenty, as Sarah talked about earlier about this. And it's to answer this question for yourself. It's more of a maybe a thought provoker for you. But if you were to answer the question, wouldn't it be amazing if ... And what you answered that question is with what you'd like to change about the world. So I'll give you an example. I mentioned the new work, for example. My answer to that question was, wouldn't it be amazing if I could accelerate the adoption of flexible work? That was my wouldn't be amazing if statement. And that then led to conversations about, okay, well, how would that happen? How could we bring people into a room who might already be doing that to share the information and et cetera, et cetera. So wouldn't it be amazing if ... and then follow that with the change you want to see in the world. And in your answers to those four questions, which we will put on the website, because I appreciate you might not be writing this down as you're sat in a car driving your 7-year-old daughter around, but we'll put them on the website so you can get those. In those questions, you'll hopefully get some insights into what different types of work or projects from a social impact perspective might be a really good fit for you.
And I think if this is new to you, or you're thinking about this for the first time, or starting to feel like this might be important to you, watch the mission mindset video from the School of Life that we'll put in the resources. I watched it again today, and it's a really short, kind of about 4-minute précis in terms of just how to frame and think about having a mission, having a purpose, making a difference to the world. And they were the ones that kind of really prompted my thinking around starting with what others need rather than with what you need, which sometimes feels counterintuitive to, like I say, lots of the development stuff we do. But I think that can be useful as you're starting to kind of think this through a bit more. So that's a good video if you're in the I'm just at the start of my journey phase. And then tip number 3 is to find your tribe. And you hear this advice in a number of different contexts, but I think within social impact, it's particularly powerful. I think probably when I did that CR job, when I did the first kind of leadership not-for-profit stuff, I started to find my tribe. I think if you can find other people who are interested in solving the same social challenges as you, it will boost everything that you're trying to do. It will boost your motivation, your energy, your ideas. It could be something you're volunteering for. It might be your main job, which is brilliant. I don't think you always have to look elsewhere. If your job can give you this, that's great. And I don't think people should feel pressure to have to do extra stuff. But I do think starting to just discover people with the same kind of mindset and mentality, it just gives you often these little doses of inspiration, even if you've not started to take action yet. I've actually just become part of a Facebook group called the Happy Startup School, run by somebody who actually I met at Sainsbury's, so probably no coincidence, when I was doing the CR job, again, probably no coincidence, a guy called Lawrence, who set it up, I think, a little while ago now. And I've not actually been to any of the Happy Startup School sessions yet. They run various different boot camps, but it's definitely something I'm interested in. And I can see within that community, other people who are a bit like me, interested in the same things, probably all want to make an impact in the world. Just even seeing being part of those conversations, you see how supportive it is. People all really trying to do good within their sphere of influence.
And so again, do lectures. We both want to do lecture stuff for a similar community.
So I think you can almost find your tribe, but also I think I simultaneously have my eye on a few tribes, which sounds a bit like, it's a bit like I'm coming for you, which is not as scary as it sounds, but it's more going, oh, that's a tribe I'd like to be part of. And you might just not have the capacity at the moment, or the right opportunity might not have presented itself. But I think I often do have a couple where I'm thinking, oh, at some point I would like to be active in that group or in that world, and at the right time and at the right place. But just being open to finding those people. And, you know, when you find someone who you feel like is part of your tribe, ask for recommendations, ask for where else they hang out, because you just never know kind of what might come your way. I wanted to share some wise words from a guy called Jack Graham. So Jack is an incredible social entrepreneur. He's the founder of something called Year Here, which is where you go and spend a year essentially making an impact in the world in an incredible, all about kind of social enterprise with a brilliant faculty of people. And he's created all this himself over, I think it's been around for like at least 5 years now, probably longer than that. I'm probably doing it kind of a disservice. And some brilliant businesses are formed from that. And this is kind of a very early stage. And he does some really good writing on Medium, the blog platform. So you can follow him on there and see his kind of musings. And he's just done talking about sabbaticals. He's just done a sabbatical to Mexico, which I'm very jealous about. So it's quite a good time to follow him because he's obviously had a bit of space to like write down some of his thinking. And he just said this: when you're considering your next move, look beyond the grandiose, world-changing, difference-making language of your potential future employer. Don't believe the hype. Instead, think deeply and critically about your potential for real, positive, lasting impact in this world of ours. Find a purpose that will get you out of bed in the morning and let you sleep easy at night. And I just thought, oh, when I read that, I was like, actually, I really liked the kind of almost simultaneous inspiration and realism of what he was saying. I was like, oh, it's not often that we would kind of read something out like that, but I think it's a very good sentiment for kind of what we're trying to talk to people about today.
I love that last statement about the purpose that gets you out of bed in the morning and lets you sleep easy at night. And that's hard to achieve, but very, very powerful when you find it.
Yeah.
So that is it for this week's podcast. Hopefully we might have inspired you. If you have got other ideas about how people can have social impact at work, or maybe you've got a story about it, please do share it with us. We will find a way to get this out to our community, whether it is on Instagram or Twitter or wherever we can. We'd love to share some of your stories as well. So you can just send those to us at getintouch@amazingif.com. Or if you've got any other links and things that you think we should be pointing people to, let us know. All the links that we have talked about and a few others as well, they'll be over on amazingif.com, potentially on our brand new shiny website, which I hope will be live by the time this goes out.
Ooh, so that's new news.
I know, that should be live by then. So that should be a bit easier for you to navigate all of our blog posts and all the podcast posts as well, with all the links in for people. And for people that email us and say, Helen, we are missing a podcast post. I know, I'm on it and I'm trying to catch up, but it's got a new website, it's been getting in the way a little bit. So anyway, they will all be out there on amazingif.com. And next week we've got another guest podcast. This is a podcast that we recorded a little while ago now, actually about 2 months ago, when we managed to get an interview with an MP called Tracy Crouch. And Tracy Crouch is really interesting. She was the first Minister for Loneliness in the UK, the brand new created role, and she just talks about how that role came about. It's a really, really powerful story about the murder of Joe Cox, the politician. It came out of a lot of the work that she was already doing and had been championing for a long time. And Tracy really picked that work up and took that forward in becoming the first loneliness minister for the UK. And we've covered loneliness before as a really important issue to be addressed at work, because there are reduced feelings of belonging. And she talks about the loneliness strategy that was created. But also, I got into what it's like to be an MP, and also I don't want to detract from what the title of the podcast is and everything we cover, because there's important stuff covered. But she also talked about what the life of an MP is like, and the hours that they work, some of the challenges, some of the stresses, some like being a woman and an MP, and
very relevant as well. Really, and news out this week.
Yeah, conversation I've never had before. So have a listen to that one if you'd like to get a bit of an insight into the life of an MP, but also understanding what work's being done on loneliness and what action we can take for loneliness in the workplace.
So as always, thank you so much for listening. To everyone who rates, reviews, shares us, recommends us, we couldn't be more grateful. We love reading them all, and we love the fact that we're growing little by little, week by week, as we continue on with these podcasts. Thanks again, have a really good week, and we'll speak to you again soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.